Music for the Cinema Geekly podcast is brought to you by freemusicarchive.org. The Free Music Archive is an interactive library of high-quality, legal audio downloads. The Free Music Archive is directed by WFMU, the most renowned freeform radio station in America. Inspired by Creative Commons and the open-source software movement, the FMA provides a legal and technological framework for curators, artists, and listeners to harness the potential of music sharing. Specific music for the Cinema Geekly podcast is brought to you by Busker Droid. Visit them on the internet at buskerdroid.com or at freemusicarchive.org/music/buskerdroid. It's time for the Cinema Geekly podcast, episode number 10. My name is Anthony Lewis.
And my name is Nick Montes.
And Nick almost fell asleep again. We'll talk about that in a second. I want to thank everybody for checking us out on CinemaGeekly.com and, of course, on iTunes as well, plus all the social networks, Facebook, Twitter, Google+. We are on all of those sites as well. You can get all that information at CinemaGeekly.com. Normally we start off with the box office, Nick, but I wanted to... Because it's just so funny that you happened to just nod off there. What happened there at the beginning? I said my name and then you kind of disappeared.
I kind of disappeared?
Yeah, well, for a second there, I was like, I'm Anthony Lewis. And then there was kind of just silence for about 13 seconds. And you're like, oh, I'm Nick Montes.
I was building up drama.
I see. That's what it was.
Yes.
Should I put a drum roll?
Yes.
Kind of in post-production. And I'm Nicholas Montes. No, you were just telling me about... one of the things we're going to talk about is the Wrath of the Titans trailer, the Clash of the Titans sequel. And you told me you did in fact sort of see the first movie, but
yeah,
you don't
of,
remember anything. Do you actually remember anything?
I do remember seeing the movie. It's never a good idea to go to a movie while drunk.
Right. I shouldn't chastise you because I was like, how could you do that, sir? But then I quickly remembered, one hazy night going to see Dude, Where's My Car drunk. And that movie made absolutely no sense to me. That was an amazing movie.
But that's a little bit more appropriate.
In the sense that as soon as we left the theater, it had a weird field, an energy field surrounding this movie. Because as soon as I exited the theater, I completely forgot everything that happened in the movie. I've never been to a movie that was so forgettable in all of my life. It was insanely forgettable. Anyway, the top of the box office. You are lucky, man. You've missed out on the last couple of weeks, but I'm going to theorize here that maybe it was on purpose, a conspiracy on your part, because as everyone knows, the Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn Part 1, had been a top of the box office for about 3 weeks. We had to talk about it every single week for about a month, it felt like. In the mini episode last week, I discussed I talked about how the chick flick New Year's Eve was the movie to actually unseat Breaking Dawn, a movie that we didn't even talk about the week before because we forgot it was even opening. But needless to say, bigger movies came out and took the place of New Year's Eve. Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows, took the top spot at the box office as per my prediction. I was the only one predicting last week, but. I'm glad to know I was right. They did $39.6 million, which I'm guessing is probably a disappointment, I'm guessing, for a movie that big.
Yeah.
Elvin and the Chipmunks, I was going to say the Squeakquel, but they're not. This isn't the Squeakquel. This is Chipwrecked. This is the third movie. $23.2 million in second place, and a surprisingly low opening for Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, only did $12.8 million. New Year's Eve fell all the way to fourth place. The Sitter with Jonah Hill fell to fifth. And thankfully, Twilight fell below fifth place.
Yes.
And it only made $4.2 million. So thankfully, there's no more talking about Twilight Saga until next year. So if anything, we do have that, sir.
Yes.
before we jump into talking about... some movie stuff. There's actually something really interesting that allows me to discuss this because it's TV news. And of course we do cover TV news and even occasionally some video game stuff on Cinema Geekly and the podcast as well. And very, very rarely do we get to cross talking television with talking pro wrestling, sir. But we get to right now, actually.
Yes.
Because of some of the news that's been going on in that world. I don't how much do you keep up with it these days? Because I barely do so. I used to be a huge fan, ginormous, and now not so much. But I do keep up with it from time to time.
I used to be really into it. I still DVR it, but I catch myself just skimming through it. And I'll usually go watch the pay-per-views up at like the bar at BW3's, but that's more just to socialize with people than actually watch it, unless CM Punk's wrestling.
Of course. So I wanted to make mention of the WWE Network. They want to open. They want to open. They are definitely opening their own television network, a la NFL Network, MLB Network, things like that. Apparently, they're scrapping the on-demand service they have.
Mm-hmm.
That's going by the wayside, either at the end of this year or before they launch the network.
But you know they'll be back just because the network's going to have an on-demand section or something.
Yeah, probably. Here's the here's the interesting thing about this. That I guess the real news about this is that they want to launch it the day of their largest pay-per-view event, WrestleMania, which I think is April 1st, I want to say it is. And this is also the day that they want to launch the network, make it available to people. Based on everything I've read, I'm trying to figure out if this will actually happen. Because from what I'm hearing, they don't even have like a head of this department. They don't have anything set up yet, as far as I can tell. I mean, I've heard some vague rumblings about what they plan on doing to try to get it off of the ground. But I'm at this point in time actually wondering if they have the ability to even get it launched in the timetable they want it to. But the other thing is, it's not particularly easy to just start up a network.
Right.
All of the things that I'm hearing that they want to do seem like it's going to be really tough for them to do. One of the things that make Raw and some of their other shows valuable is that they're fairly popular for advertisers. That's where most networks and stuff will make the money from TV shows is selling ad time. And the more popular the show, the more ad times they sell from the, you know, and it's a varying degree of, you know, how big the advertisers are. You know, everything from a little company all the way up to like, you know, Coke and MasterCard and stuff like that. Even though WWE doesn't advertise through people like that, not quite that big, but, you know, big advertisers or whatever. And one of the things that I keep hearing is that they're going to want to attract advertisers to the network as a way of, generating money. So one of the things that you have to do in order to do that, obviously, you need a lot of people watching it.
Right.
A lot of people need to be watching it in order for advertisers to be like, oh, okay, well, we'll, you know, sure. Because they'll go wherever the people are. If there's a lot of people watching your stuff, advertisers will flock there. And I guess the thing is, the things I keep hearing is that it's going to be difficult for them to get on cable companies. I heard that they wanted to work out a deal with some cable companies that offer various, you know, channel packages and things like that to kind of get in on them. Like if it'll work, I think, to a degree, if it's something like they get the network launched and it just gets added to my cable service. If it's not something that I have to buy in addition to my cable service, because I don't think they want people to have to buy the channel.
Right. It's a very niche thing to.
Right.
I mean, not everyone's going to buy it.
No, I mean, I really like, especially watching older stuff, but I don't know if I would pay for another tier of channels in order to get. And I don't think they want that. They want to reach a large audience.
Right.
So yeah, I'm not sure if I would buy into that. or not. It just seems like it's a really tough situation for them. It's interesting, though, because it's very rarely do I ever get any sort of insight into the creation of a television channel. But it's just really interesting to see how this is all going to pan out, because obviously if it could turn into like a ginormous flop if it falls on its ass. There's a lot of money to be lost there. So there's even rumors that they're dipping into their reserve money and maybe even taking on debt to try to get this thing launched. For a wrestling fan, though, I have to say that the possibilities, if they get it up and running, are pretty cool what they can do.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty excited about it if they do everything I think they're going to do with it. Like,
well,
I'm not excited.
They've certainly talked about doing limiting the number of pay-per-views they have a year. Mm-hmm. And having some of those shows take place on their network.
Which that would be pretty cool.
You know, so stuff like that is really awesome. Obviously, they have a huge enough videotape library to cover for time, and they're going to do other things as well. They may even show some footage and shows from their developmental groups and things like that. You know, I don't know. Well, I mean, what do you think of this whole deal? I mean, I may be in, I may not be in. At this point, I think I'm just more curious to see how it all pans out for them.
I'm very interested to see what they do, too, because, you know, I don't think they're going to do very well with the reality shows like they're hoping, but, you know, showing more of the developmental stuff and maybe even a couple house shows here or there would be really cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I may be interested in a reality show. I'm partially curious of the one that they want to do, the Legends House, whatever it is.
I hope Iron Sheik's on it. I really
yeah, well, I mean, a Mean Gene and Iron Sheik living in the same house together. Somebody would die in that house, though, I think, though, legit.
Oh, yeah.
All those people are so old and broken down. I'm not sure how any of them could actually survive it. But, yeah, I'd be interested, though. I think I'd definitely be interested. Depending, of course, on the package. If it's nice and cheap, or if it doesn't cost me anything, if it's added into what I'm already paying for. I'm down, I guess.
I'm down as long as it isn't that expensive, like you said.
No.
Because I doubt I'll be paying money for it, but if it's free, man, I will support that network for sure.
Right. Unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to review anything lately. I've got a bunch of stuff that I am in the midst of getting through trying to review, but I'm not quite there yet. I've got copies of Moneyball and Contagion and a few other movies that I've been trying to get to, but of course, as everybody knows, it's the holidays.
Yep.
And it's going to be a slow going on that front. Speaking of slow going, there hasn't been a whole lot of news eking its way out either due to the holidays.
Right.
There has been the Golden Globes released their nominations this year, and usually and we'll be doing Oscar coverage when the Oscars come around, but usually the Golden Globes are a pretty good measuring stick of what you can probably expect to see for nominations in the Best Picture category and things like that. This year they had The Descendants, The Help, Hugo, Ides of March, Moneyball, and War Horse, none of which I've actually seen yet, which is a little bit different from last year when I'd seen three or four of the nominated movies. I'm in the midst of watching Moneyball. War Horse, of course, is my favorite choice. Every year the Golden Globes, I don't know if you've ever even followed on these, Nick, but every year the Golden Globes does this great thing where they will nominate a movie for Best Picture 2 weeks before it was even released.
Right.
I mean, I don't think War Horse doesn't come out until Christmas, memory serves. Yeah, December 25th, War Horse comes out. So it hasn't even come out in theaters yet, and somehow already nominated for Best Picture for a Golden Globe. And when I looked at Rotten Tomatoes, by the way, for War Horse, which is a Steven Spielberg movie, there hasn't even been any reviews yet. So I'm wondering how this movie got nominated if there aren't even any reviews available for it. And by the way, in the because the Golden Globes separates things, they also have a Best Picture for Musical or Comedy. And in there, they listed Bridesmaids, My Week with Marilyn, Midnight in Paris, The Artist, and 50-50. So 50-50 is something I also want to take a look at.
50-50, I honestly have to say, everything I've seen this year is probably the best movie I've seen.
Really?
I think the younger crowd will get it more.
Right.
Because that's more the people who are 20 to 30-something years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly, it really got me in the movie. Like, I actually cried during the movie.
Oh, cool. Well, not cool that you cried, but right. Awesome, well, that it impacted you in such an emotional level, sir.
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, that'll be, if you're going to stick around for next week, we're going to be doing the, we're going to be doing our top five best and worst movies of the year. So the, I'm sure soon to be worldwide renowned Cinema Geekly Awards, that I'm sure directors and actors alike will be clamoring for, maybe not. But no, man, I'm in a preview for that next week. I'm kind of surprised because I'm thrown off by the Oscars and Oscar season, because the Oscars kind of take place near the beginning of a new year.
Mm-hmm.
But they feature a lot of films from the previous year. So I'm still sitting here thinking, like, the Green Hornet. I forgot the Green Hornet came out this year. It felt like it came out last year, but it didn't. It came out in January. The same goes for, like, the movie that won Best Picture in the Oscars, which was The King's Speech. That came out this year, not last year. Like, I feel like it did, but it didn't. It actually came out this year.
Yep.
So I'm going to have a tough time putting together a top five list for this year. I may even have a harder time putting together a top five worst. Because I try to avoid a movie that looks bad to me. Very rarely do I get caught in a movie where I'm like, ugh. But I will do my darndest. There is another bit of news to pass along. Actually, a couple pieces of Star Trek news.
Yeah.
We don't have a Star Trek theme song to play here. But we reported a few weeks ago and talked about it on the podcast that J.J. Abrams and company said that they were going to... There was at least a report out there that said the movie was going to be shot in 3D. They start filming, by the way, January 15th. So pretty soon here, they're going to start shooting the movie. And JJ just did an interview for MTV where he, in fact, cemented the fact that I wasn't going to go see this movie in 3D anyway, just because I don't think the technology is great enough, and nor is it worth the extra few bucks on the ticket price to really make me want to go see it. But they've cemented it by saying that they're shooting the movie in 2D, but they're going to give it a 3D conversion after the fact, which of course is terrible. I don't think there's been a movie where people said where there's been a 3D conversion where they said the conversion was good. So, although he did say that they've been thinking about shooting it in IMAX, which would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
That would be fantastic, especially considering the space scenes and things like that. I think would be epic. Another couple tidbits surrounding this movie as well. This is all stuff I kind of pretty much knew anyway ahead of time, but some people went ahead and made it official that there won't be any old Star Trek cameos in. So there will be no Leonard Nimoy or William Shatner appearing in this movie. There's always the rumors. Oh, Nick wants his Shatner. He wants Kirk to show up in there.
No, let's get some Picard.
Oh, and get some Patrick Stewart showing up in there. That I don't think that's going to happen. The closest thing this movie I think is going to have to a Star Trek alum is Peter Weller, who is well known to most fans as RoboCop. But Peter Weller is going to be in the new Star Trek movie, and he was actually in a couple of episodes of Star Trek Enterprise, the last television Star Trek show, as a guest star in the last couple of episodes of that series. He was a bad guy in that, and he's going to be in the new Star Trek movie. So I think he's about as close as you're going to come to a Star Trek alumni in the new Star Trek movie. Another piece of news that actually makes me pretty happy. If you watched the first movie, I really liked Bruce Greenwood as Admiral or Captain Pike, and he was one of the few people that actually didn't sign one of those extensive multi-movie franchise contract things. But the writers for the film did confirm that they wrote a part for him, and it's kind of up to him to see if he said he's wanted to do it a million times when fanboys come up and ask him if he's going to do another movie, and he's always said that he would want to. So I guess at this point it just comes down to whether or not the schedules align properly for that to happen. But yeah, those are the tidbits there. I do want to mention on a couple of the other things. Did you happen to see the Expendables 2 trailer, Nick?
No, I haven't.
Did you by chance see the first one? I just, for some reason, I feel like you would be a guy who would like this movie just because of all of the 80s action heroes stuffed into it.
I went to go see it opening day.
Well, the teaser trailer is on the website right now, cinemageekly.com. Just click on trailers, and it's in there. It's just a teaser trailer, though. It's just a minute long, but they have managed to cram even more people into this movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, on top of Schwarzenegger, who looks like he's going to be not just a cameo in this movie. And of course, Willis and Stallone. They did, in fact, find Chuck Norris and Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, my God.
So they're in this movie as well. Also, Chris Hemsworth, better known as Thor, he's going to be in this as well. So they're just finding every action hero. I mean, obviously, most of the ones from the last movie are back to Jason Statham and Jet Li and all of those guys.
We need Carl Weathers in there.
Carl Weathers, yeah. Go find Carl Weathers. He did Arrested Development, right?
Oh, yeah.
So there you go. He's not out of the game. He was in Arrested Development as Carl Weathers. So that's even better. God, that would be so great, wouldn't it, if he showed up? Now they just need Steven Seagal.
There you go.
They got to get the Expendables 3 to happen. And no Steve Austin this time around.
Oh, so. Well.
But they do need to. Yeah, that's what they need is Rock and Steve Austin in the third one. Get Rock in there as well. But no, that was pretty cool. And I will say this: Nick may have been passed out semi-drunk during Clash of the Titans. I found it to be, you know, a popcorn movie. It was fine for what it was. I didn't have a problem with it. Wrath of the Titans the trailer looked really cool. You know, if you like the first one, you like the second one. If you passed out drunk during the first one, you'll probably do the same second time around, I'm guessing.
I really need to give that movie another fair shake. I mean, that was just a bad time in my life when I was falling asleep during, like, movies in general, working
Inglourious
nights.
Inglourious Bastards, yeah, there's that famous story of you falling asleep during Inglourious Bastards.
I felt so ashamed for so long thinking I hated that movie. I'm like, there's no way I hate a Tarantino movie. What's wrong with me?
You're like, it's so boring. Yeah, so Nerdgasms flew everywhere in the last few days, starting December 19th. Basically, it was like every 2 days a giant trailer was released. The first back on December 19th, the Dark Knight Rises trailer came out. So the first full-length piece of the Dark Knight Rises popped out. That came with it was the prologue, the 6-minute prologue leaked out. I basically saw a leaked version of the trailer, which was in pretty good shape. It didn't look bad because it was attached. The trailer, I think, was attached to the Sherlock Holmes movie. Mm-hmm. That didn't look in too bad a shape. The prologue, though, I watched a leaked version of that in relatively bad quality. And I'd have to watch a better version of it to gauge for sure. But just watching the poor quality one, I did not like the opening 6 minutes of The Dark Knight Rises. But that could have just been the really poor quality, not being able to see things clearly or hear things as clearly. But essentially, with all of these leaks going all over the place, Warner Brothers kind of flew up the flag of surrender and just released the full trailer onto Apple and YouTube and all over the place. So a nice high definition, pure quality trailer. And man, it was great. The trailer looked great. A fellow Cinema Geekly contributor, Aaron De La Osa, I don't know if he's not interested in seeing this movie, but one thing I know for sure is that he said he was not a fan of Bane's voice in this movie. I know Chris Nolan kind of has this thing with voices. I can't say I particularly care for Christian Bale's Batman voice. I can deal with it. I mean, I can deal with it. It is not like the end of the world for me or a deal breaker. It's just a low point for me in those movies. And I mean, I guess I can. Bane's voice is kind of raspy-ish and kind of, you know, because it's behind the mask as well. It's not as clear, but I mean, I could hear everything he was saying more or less. It didn't sound as rambly to me as some other people thought it did. And I don't know, man. Maybe I'm just too forgiving. Maybe it's just anything compared to Bane Smash from Batman and Robin. Anything.
Bane makes pain. I think that's all he said, too, was just Bane throughout the movie. Or honey.
just groveling and mumbles and stuff. You know, anything is really better than that. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just too forgiving. Did you see it, dude?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so what did you?
I'm geeked out. I can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that really stood out to me was they didn't have a lot of dialogue in it, but Anne Hathaway's dialogue as Selina Kyle. I'm presuming they've kept the name of Catwoman as Selina Kyle, but. Just the little bits I saw. I really like Anne Hathaway. Most of the movies I've seen her in, I thought she's been excellent. But that stuff just seemed great. Like, I can't wait to see more of it. I really got this whole sort of, like, we are the 99% and Bruce Wayne is part of the 1%. I kind of got that feeling of it, you know, that touching on that sort of, that recent, you know, rip from the headlines sort of feel. Because she was certainly talking like that. Like, you're gonna wonder how you ever lived so large and stuff without people finally knocking down the walls and shit and saying enough. Sort of kind of got that vibe from it, but it looked really cool. Kind of surprised to see the football stuff in there. But I mean, it's Bane blowing up a football field. So, you know, I'm going to have to see where it goes, obviously, but the trailer looked really good.
The trailer's got me interested in, you know, the first two movies were so excellent that, you know, I got no problems about this. I'll be going to see this opening day for sure.
Right. And another movie I'm probably going to be going to see opening day, the trailer for that movie came out 2 days later, the first part of The Hobbit, and I am a big Lord of the Rings nerd. As you could probably tell if you read the article about the trailer from the website, I kind of just go on a paragraph-long rant of all of the stuff I noticed in the trailer. So just – and some stuff that people are just going to be like, what the hell? were you a Lord of the Rings fan, Nick, or were you one of those people that are like, oh, all they do in those movies are walk? Even the trailers walked in those movies.
No, I definitely have seen all three, and I remember seeing the first one on DVD because – for whatever reason. I did go see the next two, like, the day they came out in theaters. I remember we actually drove all the way to Lansing because our theaters were sold out around here for Return of the King.
Right.
I'm not going to say I'm an uber nerd, but I definitely enjoy the movies.
So, yeah, have you had a chance to see the trailer for this then?
No, I haven't yet.
Totally worth a look. There's one thing I will give Peter Jackson big credit for. This movie doesn't even open for a year. This movie is a year away, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't open until December of next year. And instead of coming at us with Lord of the Rings, they propped up this really great teaser trailer. And it was a good teaser trailer. It really was. But it was, you know, merely a shot of the whole fellowship crossing over a mountain path. And they kind of just listed off of the movies and when they were going to be opening. And that was kind of just the teaser they did. This time for this movie, they went ahead and gave us a full 2.5 minute real trailer, which is pretty darn amazing, all things considered, when the movie is this far out. But there is a lot of cool stuff, especially if they wanted to hook Lord of the Rings fans back in, or ones that were kind of casual fans. They actually start right away with Ian Holm as old Bilbo and a very small glimpse of Elijah Wood as Frodo, who aren't in he's not in The Hobbit, but they're kind of doing this as a way to do like a class reunion, I guess, for the Lord of the Rings, and kind of a way to open the movie, I guess. They're kind of going to do a prologue to The Hobbit movie. But there's all sorts of awesome stuff in there. And of course they tease you know, showing the ring at the end and Gollum and things like that as well. That's all stuff that we probably won't see until the second half of the movie. Mm-hmm. I should mention, but spoiler alert, because it's near the end of the book. But either way, it looks pretty fantastic. If you haven't seen it yet, if you are a Lord of the Rings, if you're a big Lord of the Rings fan, you've already seen it already. But if you like Lord of the Rings and haven't seen it yet, cinemageekly.com. Click on trailers, ladies and gentlemen. It's right there. I can't be more geeky about this. It's this and Star Trek that I'm going to be rambling on about for months and months to come. Also, I should mention a teaser trailer was released for Ridley Scott's Prometheus. Looks really cool. I'm a big space nerd guy, so it was kind of inevitable anyway. It looks pretty awesome. So I would highly suggest checking it out. It's got there's always been the chit-chat about, does it have something to do with aliens? The Alien movie that he originally made. Is it a prequel? Does it have anything to do with it at all? I guess at one point it did, and then he changed his mind, but there might still be hints of it here and there. I don't know. All I can tell you from watching the teaser, which is only about a minute long, is that there are some elements of it that look kind of alien-ish, but by and large it looks like a movie that will be standing on its own apart from that series of films. So rest easy, Alien fans. I don't think this is going to be a prequel to Alien, so be at ease. So finally, some discussion, man, that you can kind of jump in on here, because it looks like it's going to be the Tony and Nick show, because we're about halfway through, and nobody else has jumped in yet, so I'm guessing everybody busy getting their holiday cheer on. So a little bit early, I might add, because it's not even Christmas Eve yet, but we're getting close.
It's the eve of Christmas Eve.
It's the eve of the eve, sir. Speaking of which, the Christmas holiday season, lots of movies are tied in with the holiday season. Now, I know your Christmas is your Halloween is like your Christmas.
Oh yeah.
That's where most of your movies come. But do you have stuff that you know, Christmas movies that you do in fact like?
We do have our traditions, and I have plenty of stuff I watch. I mean, some of it, I get away with it just because the movie happens during Christmas, but I do have, like, legit Christmas movies that I watch
like
year.
Die Hard.
Like, if you looked at my Facebook recently, I was watching Rocky IV the other day.
Right, which takes place kind of during Christmas.
It takes place on Christmas. The fight happens on Christmas.
On Christmas. There you go.
He ends communism on Christmas.
He breaks Drago.
Yeah.
He broke him.
Found out he was just a man. He wasn't a machine.
He was on some kind of weird steroids, though, sir. So that's he's on some sort of anabolics or something. Whatever he hits, he breaks.
Yes.
we were talking about it a couple of weeks ago with Joe and Aaron, and there are some Christmas movies out there that are less traditional Christmas movies. I'm a big Christmas movie traditionalist. Like, I watch some of the traditional Christmas movies. And I'm not talking like, I'm talking like traditional, like It's a Wonderful Life traditional.
There you go.
Like, I love me some It's a Wonderful Life. I can only watch it once a year.
Right.
I love Frank Capra movies. I like that kind of movie. Field of Dreams is one of my favorite movies, and it's a Frank Capra type movie. I just love those kinds of movies, but I really, 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 really dig It's a Wonderful Life, even though it's like super duper old, even though a lot of the acting is kind of out of place nowadays. Some of it seems a little cheesy, some of it's still great. But man, I really dig that movie. That Miracle on 34th Street, of course, the black and white one, not the bastardized new one with the guy from Jurassic Park playing Santa Claus. Even though I like him, just not in that movie. I'm not a big fan of the remade Miracle on 34th Street, but the original one I really dig as well. I like the old black and white ones, but you know, I don't think we can do a Christmas movie show and not mention A Christmas Story or Home Alone, for God's sakes.
I still have not got to watch Home Alone this year. I need to like go find it on demand or something, because I need to watch that movie.
It'll show up, man.
That's like,
it's
I was hoping it'd be on Netflix.
It's not.
It's not, though. What I do like, though, on Netflix right now is they have every television show, their Christmas episodes, listed on there.
Yeah, that is
pretty like cool. I watched the Cheers Christmas the other day.
Yes, I haven't gotten to the Cheers Christmas yet, but I'm kind of going through Cheers an episode at a time, or a couple of episodes at a time, depending on my mood. But that's an early Netflix picks there, ladies and gentlemen. Go surf around, and you have the option to sift through many shows' holiday episodes. They just pull them like right up for you, which is pretty sweet. So that's kind of like an early Netflix picks, but I'll get to a real one later on, I suppose. I mean, is that like is Home Alone like a must for you on Christmas?
It is. I love it. You know, I watch both of them, actually.
Yeah, we don't. Let us not speak of Home Alone 3.
Yeah, that doesn't exist. But, obviously a Christmas Story. But if I had to pick one movie, man, Christmas Vacation.
Oh, yeah, of course. Can't go wrong with Christmas Vacation.
I've already watched it twice this year, and I'm going to watch it again tomorrow.
The Griswolds.
Yes.
Go wrong with National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Oh, God, that's a great episode. Just the, not episode, movie. My bad. I'm still, like, hooked on Cheers back here. I'm like, that was a great episode of Cheers. And I'm like, wait. No. Just the whole, the thing that sticks out most to me in that movie is when Clark goes on that tirade in the house. I think, is that the right movie where he says, like, 8,000 bad things in a row? I'm trying to think if that's Christmas Vacation or if that's another one.
He goes on a tirade.
He goes on a lot. I was gonna say. I thought it was about the lights or something like that.
Oh yeah, yeah. When he kicks the Santa Claus and all the reindeer and stuff.
Yes. yeah. That's a great movie, man. I'm glad you mentioned it. A Christmas Story. It's like that. At one point, one year, my because TBS airs it on a marathon of 24 straight hours.
Oh, yeah.
I think they've been doing it for like 5 years now or something. And I love that movie. I still love that movie, but I had to take a break from it a couple of times because we would go to relatives' house and they would literally just leave the movie on.
Yep.
It would just come on again and then go off and come back on again. And then, yeah, I love it. I love it to death. I want a leg lamp in my house. I want a big pink bunny costume. I still say Daddy's going to kill Ralphie many times during the course of the year, just in general. So, sometimes in inappropriate places, like a church, perhaps, just stand up, Daddy's going to kill Ralphie, and then run away.
In the middle of Mass?
Oh, sure, all the time. Yeah, it's just in the middle of a restaurant at a funeral. One time at a very unfortunate funeral where a man named Ralph had already died. Just inappropriate.
Of course,
didn't really happen.
You gotta say Fragile.
Fragile, yes. man, it's a great movie. It really is. The narration really does it for me. I just think that narration is so hilarious. And for some reason, when I think of that, this is a complete just. Going off tangent here, but for some reason, whenever I think of that story, I think that they could do a, because I've read a couple of Mick Foley's autobiographies, and I think they could do a very similar Christmas Story movie involving his life growing up as a kid. I kind of just kind of get the vibe that he lived that life in that movie. Like, he must relate to that strongly. But that's a great movie, man. Home Alone 1, Home Alone 2. Movies like that, movies that came out when we were younger, that stuff has really stuck with me.
Santa Claus for me, man.
There are some, I'm sure you've seen your share of Christmas themed horror movies, sir.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've seen one or two. Jack Frost comes to mind.
Carrot, man.
Was it The Carrot?
You know what I'm talking
about.
Oh,
I know what you're talking about. I don't know if we can mention it on this particular podcast, but some sort of sodomization happens, I believe, with The Carrot. I could be wrong. Isn't there a movie where Goldberg plays, it's Santa's sleigh, isn't it?
Santa's sleigh, yep.
Oh my God. I don't know, you could do, Tim Burton has a Nightmare Before Christmas.
Black Christmas, you ever seen Black Christmas?
No, I haven't seen that.
The original, not the remake, but, it's pretty awesome. It gets a lot of credit sometimes as being like an early slasher movie or something like that, but I forgot what I was going to say. Never mind. But, I guess the the slasher movie, if you go back far enough, it's been done before that, but it gets a lot of early credits as doing that. And you, did you know the person who made Black Christmas actually made A Christmas Story?
No, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it makes sense if you think about it because, you know, even A Christmas Story, if you think about it, it's kind of a dark movie.
It is, actually. It's, I mean, it's not a bright, happy, sunshiny Christmas movie. Well, I mean, like, it's got its nice moments, obviously, but you know, it's not your typical bright, sunshiny movie. I mean, and also I should mention shout outs to the old school Rankin Bass, claymation-y, stop motion-y Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, stuff like that. I watch it every year with the kids. I have a Mr. Magoo Christmas Carol that I watch with the kids. Some more offbeat stuff, though, because I'm a big fan of A Christmas Carol. I never watched the Jim Carrey version, the animated one. Mm-hmm. But there's various versions of it. Jen really likes the Disney version with Scrooge and Mickey. Yeah. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, okay. Flintstones version I love.
I've never seen that one.
Oh, really?
Really? That's awesome. Is there a Jetsons version as well?
I bet you there is. There probably is. Everybody did that.
There's a Disney, the Disney version. There's a bunch of different ones. There's my favorite one actually kind of gets lost by the wayside, I guess, because it was a made for TV version. Mm-hmm. TNT produced it quite a few years ago, but it is excellent. It's Patrick Stewart as Scrooge.
Oh yes, yes.
And it is my favorite version of A Christmas Carol, so much so that we went out of our way to find it on DVD, and we watch it every year Christmas Eve without stop for like the last three or four years. It's my favorite version, without a doubt.
I have to agree with you on that.
I love Patrick Stewart. Let's see, what else do we have here? So many Christmas movies that come out. Obviously, I should also mention, kids will get mad at me if I don't mention Charlie Brown Christmas with the with his little deformed tree and stuff.
That's my mom's favorite Christmas special. We never miss it.
Is it?
I actually bought it for her on DVD a couple of years ago, but she still never watched it. She wants to watch it on TV when it comes on.
That's the way to watch it, with commercials and everything.
Right. I get what she's saying. She likes it to be a surprise. It's kind of like how I own a copy of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, but I've never opened it.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not that way. I've got to rip open my packages, and I'm the kind of dude who rips everything open and looks through it, even if I don't watch the movie right away. I still rip it open and look through everything. I'm still a little kid when it comes to stuff like that. So
I guess I just, I don't know. I never, I'm like, I'm never going to watch it. I catch it when it's on TV.
Right.
I was going to say, in addition to like Christmas specials and stuff, this time of the year, I watch like Hanukkah specials and stuff on Nickelodeon. I've learned everything about Hanukkah from the Rugrats.
There you go. Everything you need to know from the pickles.
Yeah, from like anything Jewish. In fact, Passover, I learned.
Yeah, a lot of stuff.
Like, I told my parents about Passover and Hanukkah, and they're like, how do you know all that? I'm like, Rugrats, believe it or not.
Everything I know about Kwanzaa, I learned from KwanzaaBot on Futurama, so...
pass out the traditional Kwanzaa book.
Yes. I should also mention another movie that I really like. I don't care. A lot of people complain about this movie because they think the like all the people in it look like soulless, dead people. Because the animation wasn't perfected, I guess, or whatever. But I'm talking about Robert Zemeckis' Express. I kind of get it. I suppose that they kind of look lifeless. I don't know. But I love that movie. I love the story they did, and I thought the music was awesome. And like as a kid, I could see myself, if I was like a kid watching that movie, I could see myself, you know, that would become my Christmas movie when I was a kid. And I really, really dig it. My kids love watching it. They grew up with it.
Wasn't that a book?
There was a book. Yeah. And Tom Hanks did most of it.
Okay. You see, I don't remember the movie, but I remember reading the book back in elementary school every year.
The movie is a great movie. I think people just think that the animation or whatever looks soulless or something. They didn't really improve the animation at that point. That was kind of like one of the most advanced looking animated films at the time, but it was so much on the forefront that it didn't quite have some of those bits and pieces like they do now, where you can kind of really see emotion and stuff in the eyes and faces and things like that. It still looks really great, but I can see where people are like, "Yeah, that creeps me out." But I don't know. I really dug it. I don't know. That's just my thing. Let's run through the Blu-ray releases real quick, sir. You mentioned to me you might be getting a Blu-ray player. Are you might be getting? Is this some sort of Christmas wish, or have you been spoiled in advance and you're aware that you have one coming your way?
Well, I don't want to say it, but my parents are going to listen to this, so it doesn't matter. But I happen to know that I'm going to be getting a PlayStation 3 for Christmas.
Oh, okay, sir. So then, in fact, Blu-ray will be coming along with it.
And I'm so excited. That's the whole reason I wanted it, too. It's like 10 years ago, I got my first DVD player for Christmas, and I was the first person in the house to get it. I'm going to be the first person to have Blu-ray in the house now, too.
You have 3D Blu-ray. Well, you want... It won't be any use to you unless you have a 3D TV, but nonetheless, a 3D Blu-ray player you will.
And the first Blu-rays I asked for, the Star Wars Blu-rays.
Oh, okay, cool. I refuse to watch the newest original trilogy on Blu-ray because of the bastardized changes they've made to them. I would have been so fine with it had it not been for the no.
No.
Part of me is just like, oh, but you could mute it at that point.
Right.
Or maybe turn the volume down a little bit and, kind of just hum the theme music louder than the TV.
I'm trying not to let it bother me. That's what I'm trying to do. Because I agree with you. It's stupid.
Plug my ears and go, la, 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 la.
George Lucas would be satisfied.
I read some articles, basically, some people that are kind of in the know when it comes to this sort of thing. They basically said, look, if you want the original movies on DVD, you'll get them. It just won't be until after George Lucas is dead.
Yeah.
And they weren't joking. They weren't joking because they said that he literally does not like the original cuts of the movie anymore. He doesn't think they're any good.
Oh.
And he thinks that all the people who do say that they're good are just saying it because, they grew up with the movies or whatever. But he's saying from an artistic standpoint, but still when they say stuff like that, though, I still have a hard time believing that he thinks putting Darth Vader saying no really makes the movie better, because that's such a small thing. It's possible to make it worse, but I don't see how it would make it better.
Right.
We could do a whole Star Wars episode.
There's a lot of things that aren't necessary, man. Like, I'll just throw one thing out there: the music scene that they put in Return of the Jedi. I'm like, why did they?
In Jabba's palace.
Yeah,
with the Sai Snoodles band. Yeah, oh yeah.
And I was like 6 or 7 when that came out, and I still knew that that was crap.
It's a terrible song too that they do, and the cartoony guy that they throw in, and he runs up to the camera with his mouth wide open and you see spit in his tongue and all that stuff. I was just like, oh, it's so stupid. Especially when that original song was so... I don't even remember what that original song sounded like anymore. The last time I owned the original movies untouched was when they released the box set on VHS.
I need to go find those.
My brother has them, but I haven't watched them in forever. I don't even have a VHS player anymore. So
the last time I bought Star Wars was when the special editions came out on VHS. So I waited past DVD for the Blu-rays, and I'm like, I got to get them.
Well, they're going to look fantastic. I know that for a fact. Especially the I've seen the footage of the old ones, and the old ones look really good, and the new ones look spectacular. So just visually speaking, they look really, really sweet. So, yes, the Blu-ray releases for a couple of days after Christmas, December 27th, and not too many, believe it or not. Most of the big releases obviously came before Christmas, so there isn't a lot of stuff coming out, but a movie I reviewed for the website, Apollo 18, is coming out on Blu-ray December 27th. Final Destination 5. Serious this time. It really is the final one until the next final one.
Even though the last one was called The Final Destination.
A few musical titles are coming out as well. We have Shameless, the complete first season. Pearl Jam's 20 is that was a documentary that was on PBS. I think Joe McDonald posted about that a few weeks ago. Nirvana Live at the Paramount is coming out on Blu-ray. And Sid and Nancy, that would be the I think I'm not sure if it's a movie or if it's a documentary about Sid Vicious from the obviously not the WWF Sid Vicious, the punk rock icon Sid Vicious, who Sid Vicious probably stole his name from. I'm not sure if it's a movie about them or if it's a documentary about them. Sid and Nancy.
It's a movie.
Okay, I thought maybe it was a doc, but you never know. So yeah, very few Blu-ray releases this coming week here, sir. Do you have something you might like to recommend to people if they just so happen to be using Netflix? Netflix picks, we like to call it here on Cinema Geekly Podcast.
Netflix. Jeez, I haven't even been on my Netflix recently.
Scrolly.
You know what? You can't go wrong with Christmas episodes, and you know what? That 70s show's Christmas episodes, at least the first one, mm-hmm. I like that. That's a good call. And A Christmas Carol is on Netflix right now, the new one, the Disney one.
Is that the Jim Carrey one, where he plays all of the roles?
Yes.
Okay. I've been antsy about watching it. I'm not sure if we're going to watch it. I don't want anything... I don't think it's going to be better than the Patrick Stewart version, but I'm trying to take my I don't want to take my chances here, and I pray that I don't find anything that I like better than that one, because seriously, super much love for that movie.
Right. Screw it, man. Cheers, Christmas. That's what they need to be watching.
So I've been waiting to do this for Netflix picks. I wanted to do it since we first started the podcast several weeks ago. Mm-hmm. But when we started the podcast up, it wasn't on Netflix anymore. And I don't want a Netflix picks something that isn't on Netflix anymore. But lo and behold, last week it showed up again. So I'm guessing they renewed the license to air it or whatever. And I've mentioned it a couple of times on the podcast without necessarily recommending it. But Dan and I have both recommended this a few times. Kind of just non-officially, but it's called The Man from Earth, and it's a science fiction movie, but it was written by Jerome Bixby, who wrote some of the original Star Trek episodes. He also wrote for The Twilight Zone as well. So if you're not a big Star Trek fan, a lot of people who are sci-fi fans really dig The Twilight Zone. So he did a lot of work in The Twilight Zone as well. But this is a completely old school way of doing a science fiction movie. We're talking like low budget filmmaking here. There's you really don't see sci-fi like this anymore. It would never make it to a theater mainstream because it doesn't really involve space. It's a science fiction that doesn't involve space. It's just a science story that is fiction. What it is, I don't want to go into too much detail, but I should highly recommend this. I found it by accident once, watched it on Netflix, and fell so in love with it that I bought it on Blu-ray after the fact, even though I could have watched it for free at any time. I decided to make a purchase and give these people some money because I thought it was worth it. It's about a college professor who is, I guess he's retiring or he's leaving the school, and he's having a going away party at his cabin that he lives at, with other people from other colleagues from the school that he teaches at. And, in the midst of doing this going away party, he decides, cause they're asking him a bunch of questions because he's a young professor. He's not a very old guy at all. He's in his, you know, mid to late 20s or whatever in appearance. And they're kind of just asking him why all of a sudden, why all this mystery, why are you doing this? And he decides to, I guess for the first time in his life, tell these people why, because apparently he does it a lot. He'll go to some place and he'll stick around for a while, then he'll leave and go someplace else. So he finally decides to tell these people the truth for like the first time as the first group of friends he's ever told this to, and he's curious to see how they're going to react to it. And essentially the story he weaves is that he is really, 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 really old. Like, he was born in, like the Paleolithic times. Like, he's a caveman, essentially. And the science fiction comes in, the fact that obviously this sounds preposterous, but the science fiction they weave in this is, and because these are all college professors, or most of them are very knowledgeable on many of these aspects of biology and history and things like that. And, you know, he asks them if there's any way they can theorize how this could possibly happen. Is there no way they could reason why it's impossible for him to be this old? I mean, basically, they kind of talk about how it's the reason most people die is that as you get older, your body stops renewing its cells at the same rate as it would when you're younger. And eventually it stops producing and stops producing. It produces less and less and less. And your body renews its energy less and less and less. And eventually it breaks down and then you die, assuming you die of old age. And they then theorize amongst themselves that it's possible that this guy was born with a mutation in his cells where his cells never wear down. Like, he's constantly renewed over and over and over again. So he never, once he reaches a certain age, he just stops aging. If he gets sick, his body beats it, stuff like that. He has, like, the perfect, you know, genetic structure through some sort of mutation. There's no flaws or anything like that. And he tells this amazing, tale, and it delves into philosophy and religion, and there's actually some pretty controversial stuff in there. But all of it done amazingly well. It's the kind of movie, if you love dialogue, so if you're a big Kevin Smith fan, you may like this movie. If you love dialogue, this movie is 99% dialogue. I think there's maybe two locations in the whole movie, and all of the movie is pretty much spent with these people going round and round, you know, trying to determine whether their friend is really this amazing thing that he says he is, or is he playing a prank on them, or is he like mentally unstable? And they kind of go around and around and around and around this for a while. And it was spellbinding to me. I just sat there and watched the TV and listened and listened and listened. It was an amazing movie that I can't recommend highly enough. So go out of your way. It's on Netflix. It's for free. If you got Netflix, for God's sakes, just put it on the queue and give it a watch sometime when you're bored and you have nothing else to do. The Man from Earth, I would suggest just buying it right now. Don't even bother with Netflix, but unfortunately may not be enough for you to just go and plunk down money. So it's on Netflix for free. So go queue it up, ladies and gents, because to me, it's totally worth it. I want to do a little bit of video game talk real quick, sir, before we close things out. It's been a while since we even talked video game stuff, but
sure.
GameSpot just put out their best of the year. They said it was the Elder Scrolls Skyrim, I believe it was.
Of course they would.
Was their game of the year. They said the action game of the year was Arkham. What is it? Arkham. It's not Arkham.
Arkham City.
Arkham City. Is the they said was their action game of the year. I haven't had a man. How many of these games have you had a chance to play yet? Because I haven't had a chance to really play any of them, man.
I played a decent amount of games this year, I have to say, you know,
newer stuff.
Mostly a lot of Nintendo stuff, but I gotta say that Arkham City was one of my favorites this year. Skyward Sword, I'm playing right now, and I'm just having so much fun with it.
Awesome.
And, you know, going way back earlier in the year, Portal 2 was just awesome.
Yeah, that
probably
was
the best game I played this year.
That was in a lot of top best movie or best game lists as well this year. So many of them, actually. Did you see that? I think it was they put out a Sonic CD.
Oh, yeah.
Is this on Xbox Live? Because I know they've put it on PlayStation Network. I've played the demo already. It, Judging by the looks of it, they redid the game for... it looks like it's using the same graphics.
Let me tell you a little something about Sonic CD, because I am definitely a fan. We owned a Sega CD when the game came out, and I still have it on my shelf.
Right.
The main reason to go buy this game, besides the fact that it's probably the best Sonic game ever made, and I mean that seriously, the coolest thing about it, and the reason why I rebought it, even though I own it already, believe it or not, when the game first came out, it received a perfect 10 out of 10 in the Japanese version, but the American version got like a 7 out of 10.
Huh.
And it was based only on the soundtrack was the difference.
Yeah, that's the big thing with this game, right? You can switch between the American and the Japanese soundtrack for the game.
Right.
Which is really cool.
And you wouldn't think it would make such a big difference, but for me, I just played it through again using the Japanese soundtrack. Mm-hmm. It's like a different game.
Yeah, I mean, the soundtrack really, especially those older games, the soundtracks really add a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I also heard that they've added in that Tails is available to play.
Yep, he wasn't a playable character originally.
And they added in a third character as well.
Did they?
Judging by what it says on the PlayStation Store, it says that they have a third one. Now, they've added trophies to the game, at least on the PlayStation. I don't know if they have that for Xbox Live or not.
Yeah, they got achievements.
So I'm guessing maybe it's unlockable based on achievements.
Probably.
And I'm not sure who they would put in, but the only thing I could think of would be like Knuckles, right?
Knuckles or Amy Rose, who's a character in the game.
Oh, well, there you go. Could possibly be that as well.
I will say that it's a must-buy for $5 if you're a Sonic fan, because...
Yeah, it was cheap.
It's the true sequel to Sonic 1, actually.
Right.
And it's going to have to do with the story of the new, or episode 2 of Sonic 4 that's coming out.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an idea when that is coming out? Because I'm going to need to get my hands on that as well. But I'm not sure. I haven't seen any dates about when they were releasing episode 2, so...
They said sometime in 2012. I'm not sure of the date off the top of my head, but
okay.
I will be playing it. I wasn't so big on episode 1.
Right. Well, it felt like they kind of recycled a lot of old stuff. Even though the final boss is a complete recycle of the boss from Sonic 2, right? So
I'm just hoping though that the first section was supposed to be nostalgia, and maybe this will be different.
Right, right. I really dug it though, even with the nostalgia aspects of it. So
It's not a bad game,
and it looks like they kept the original graphics for the Sega CD version. But it's widescreened as well.
They just made it look prettier.
Yeah, 16:9, and you can smooth out the graphics, or you can, they've kind of added that little bits and pieces to it. And for $5, it's pretty awesome. And it's not on the Sega Ultimate Collection, as far as I can tell. So,
right, it came out on a later collection, but I just gotta say, seriously, it's the best Sonic game ever, and it plays like no other Sonic game you've ever played before, if you play it right.
I'm going to be checking it out pretty soon. I haven't had a chance to play through it all the way through yet, but I'm looking forward to it. I went on a Sonic kick and played all of the Sonic games front to end. So, especially after I got the PlayStation 3 back, I went on a Sonic kick. So,
did you ever play Generations yet?
No, I haven't. I just played the demo. I haven't had a chance to play the full game, but the demo looked pretty fantastic, and I heard it's a really great game, too.
For what it is, pretty awesome.
I mean, it's essentially just a best-of levels collection with new graphics, essentially, but I'll probably give it a shot anyway at some point. Maybe when the price goes down, I'll buy, like, a used copy of it. I don't know if I could live with myself paying full. It's hard for me to live with myself paying full price for a game I really, really want. So,
right.
Have you had a chance to play the WWE 12 game yet, or no?
I have played it briefly.
Okay.
Any
impressions?
It's not amazing, but I still had fun with it.
Okay.
Did you
like the engine or the grappling system better than in previous years, or?
Yeah, I did like that better. I think it plays a lot better. It's You know, and you're talking to a guy who's owned just about every year SmackDown versus Raw.
Right.
I do think it plays better than in previous years. And the extra creator, create an arena option is really cool.
Right.
Story mode's kind of lame, but.
Yeah, that looked like it was lacking, but I never really liked playing those anyway. So I was the guy who booked everything and like ran my own, booked my own shows and things like that. I don't know how much it lets you do that.
But. You can do that in WWE 24/7 mode, or I think they call it Universe mode or something like that.
Right.
Where you can actually go as far as to make your own TV show during the week, like replace a Raw or SmackDown with, you know, whatever created show you make.
Nitro!
Yeah, yeah.
All right, man, we're going to talk about what's opening up here. There's because of the Christmas season, we have a sporadic listing of dates here for movies that are opening. Some of these movies have already opened, like the other Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I think they made a Girl with the Dragon Tattoo like a year and a half ago, or this is the Americanized version of the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo that opened on the 20th. Mm-hmm. A couple days ago, The Adventures of Tintin opened. I'm really excited to see that. We bought a zoo with Matt Damon. That's opening today. War Horse is opening on December 25th. So those are the four big movies that are opening mm-hmm. over the next couple of days. Out of the ones that are opening, I'm almost barely just interested in seeing War Horse. I love Steven Spielberg. He's my favorite director, but just looking at it, it just doesn't seem like my kind of flick.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about a horse and a guy. Maybe it's better than that, but I don't know. The Adventures of Tintin, I'm really interested to see.
I do want to see that.
That's Spielberg and Peter Jackson and Edgar Wright was part of the script writing team, and it looks great. I'm excited to see that. So what do you think's gonna happen here? I don't think any of the movies that have previously opened are going to jump into first place. So yeah. It's either up for Sherlock Holmes to hold on, or do you think it's going to fall to one of these movies? Honestly, I think Tintin's going to top the box office.
I think that's a safe bet. I can't think of anything different than that.
Yeah, me too, man. I'm not sure. Maybe Sherlock Holmes holds on to second place. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what kind of business War Horse is going to do. But Tintin seems like the big movie, and I think that's probably going to end up topping, especially since Sherlock Holmes wasn't even able to scrape up 40 million for its opening. So I think it may be Tintin taking the top spot for next week. I don't know, but we'll find out. Next week is going to be we'll obviously talk about that. Next week is going to be the top five favorite movies and worst movies of the year, the Cinema Geekly prestigious first time ever awards. We'll be mailing out certificates to all of the winners. No, we won't, but what's this award? Oh, who cares? Throw it away.
Who's Cinema Geekly?
Yeah. And besides, it's just a really badly printed certificate we made in Windows Paint or something. So, it won't be a great award really. So, but no, man, that's obviously people were too busy getting their holidays on just a little bit early, their jollies, if you will. Mm-hmm. So it was just me and Nick today, but we held the fort down. We got the Cinema Geekly podcast out there for everybody. So we once again, like to thank everybody for checking us out on the website, cinemageekly.com, or on iTunes, on the social networks as well. We're getting really close to the end of the year, ladies and gentlemen, and we still don't quite have those 100 likes on Facebook. And we're giving away a really good movie. I mean, if you don't believe me, just Google Super 8. Watch the trailer. It's a great flick. And hey, even if you don't like it, you got it for free. So get in the holiday spirit and give it away to somebody if you didn't like it. But we're talking a free copy of a really great flick. I don't even have this movie. I wish I could have the movie right now, but I don't. You would get the movie for free before I would even have it for myself. If we don't reach 100, though, before the end of the year, I will, in fact, just buy the movie for myself and gloat about how I have a copy and you do not. Cinema.
You don't want that.
No, you don't want to hear me gloat for an hour on the podcast. It'll just be Tony gloating for an hour on Cinema Geekly. So let's make that not happen, folks. Let's have a happy holidays and try to make it to 100 followers on Facebook. So spread the word, facebook.com/CinemaGeekly. Get all your friends to like the page, and we'll get there. We're only halfway there, so we need to get it in gear with only a few days left in the year. So I think that wraps it up, man.
All right.
Everybody should have a great holiday, a great holiday season.
Merry Christmas.
Happy Hanukkah. Crazy Kwanzaa.
Yep.
Fantastic Festivus, if that's what you celebrate.
Christmahana Kwanzaa.
Yeah, oops, man. Thanks for checking out the Cinema Geekly podcast for this week. I'm Anthony Lewis.
And I'm Nick Montes.
Enjoy the holidays. We'll see you next week.